Good day and welcome to the official podcast of Pursuit Athletic Performance.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 54 of the Pursuit Athletic Performance podcast. I am your host today, Coach Al Lyman. Thanks so much for joining us today on the podcast. I'm really excited for this special episode because we've got a couple of guests on the podcast. One of our own coaches and elite ultra runners, Debbie Livingston, who many of you are familiar with, is with us today. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
And we've also got James Varner, all the way from the Pacific Northwest, by way of Hawaii. James is the owner of Rain Shadow Running, which is a really well-known race organization company. But most importantly, James is connected with the Trail Running Film Fest, which is really the topic of our podcast today. James, I really want to welcome you onto the podcast so we can talk about the Film Fest, which all of us as trail runners are super excited about. So thanks for coming on.
Sure. Thanks, Coach. And thanks, Debbie. Yeah, it's exciting to be on the show and talk to all of your listeners.
Super. Tell us a little bit about your background and share a little bit about Rain Shadow Running as well, too. I mean, I saw a list of events, you know, from everything from basically 12 or 20K, 25K up to 100K. It seems like you're doing a lot of really cool things out there. I love the way you bring community and celebration and enthusiasm and just this love of the trail together with drinking beer, man. I love how you bring that all together. But tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do out there.
Sure, yeah. We've got over a dozen races as a part of the Rain Shadow Running Series, which currently are all in Washington State, except for two that are in Oregon. We've been putting on races. Our first one was 2006 on Orcas Island, so we just celebrated our 10th running of that race just a few weeks ago. I got started, you know, as a race director just kind of totally by accident. You know, I was just, I'd been running ultras for a few years, and I just moved to a new town, and the local fat-ass 50K needed help with folks doing trail work and course marking and stuff like that, and I just emailed the race director, and I said, hey, you know, I've got some free time. I'd love to help out with stuff, and next thing I knew, I was co-race director, and we were making plans to start some new races, and it just kind of snowballed from there. And the philosophy with our races, I guess, just really stems from what I like in a race, what I like to do after a race. You know, some of my favorite races out there are ones that are notoriously difficult, have lots of elevation gain, that are technical trails, but they're also usually very scenic. And then a lot of my favorite races also just have a really great post-race party or award ceremony. One of my favorite races ever is the Hard Rock 100, and they just do an amazing job with their post-race stuff and the whole race in general. And then another one of my first 50Ks that I did, probably I think it was my fourth 50K, was the McDonald Forest 50K, which is a classic ultra in the Northwest. And they just always had beer and hot homemade chili at the finish line. And it was just a kind of a race where you didn't want to get in your car and leave afterwards. You know, a lot of races, you know, especially like roads or whatever, there isn't much atmosphere afterwards. And McDonald Forest was one of the things where everybody sticks around to the last finishers there and everybody's hanging out and talking. And so when I started putting on races, I wanted, you know, I don't even know if it was a conscious thought. It was just like, well, that's what, you know, my favorite races are like, and that's what we should do. And so, we always have lots of food, lots of beer. You know, we try to never run out, you know, so even with the last runner coming in, there's always beer and food waiting for them. And We almost always have live music, so it's quite the party at the finish line. And you know, we pick just scenic places, so it's a place that folks want to bring their friends and family and come and hang out for the day, or sometimes even the whole weekend. So that's Range Shadow Running, kind of in a nutshell.
That's awesome. You know, I think beautiful scenery, challenging courses is probably something that so many folks out there listening could relate to. And, you know, Debbie, you can relate to that. I mean, is there a race like that that you haven't wanted to try to get into? I mean, you know, you mentioned James Hard Rock, which is a race Deb's been trying to get into for a while. Both of us are actually going up to Miwok in May, which is one of those races with a fair amount of elevation change and some amazing scenery in the Marin Headlands. Just sounds awesome, man. I wish listening to you talk about the races makes me wish I was out in the Northwest right now. It sounds really cool.
I think, you know, we do get quite a few folks traveling from all around the country to do our races. Obviously, the majority of our runners are from Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia, but I'm trying to think, you know, we've got, you know, we'll pretty often have runners coming from the Mid-Atlantic or Florida or, Texas. We always get a handful of people from Texas, it seems like. And it's, you know, you wouldn't want to do all of your races where you had to travel cross country, but, like you're doing to go out to Miwok, you know, maybe once a year, pick a destination race. And you know, our races, I think most people would be pretty happy coming out and doing one of the Range Shadow Running races and making it a whole, you know, vacation. We have races that are out in the San Juan Islands, which are basically in the northwest corner of the state, kind of off the mainland of Washington. Then we have races that are in the Cascade Mountains, in the North Cascades. We have races that are like our Oregon races. One is on the Oregon coast, so it's right on the ocean. Basically, you know, kind of a spot where the waves are crashing right into the rocks right next to the
rocks. Yeah, awesome.
That kind of thing. And, so they're all definitely destination races, but, yeah, not one that, you know, is super easy to get to from folks in New England or wherever, but.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
If you're trying to escape the blizzards, you know, and come to somewhere where you can run on dirt, Washington's a good place for that right now.
Yeah. Well, you're actually speaking to us right now from Kauai, I think. So all of the listeners that are here in the Northeast all collectively hate you right now because, I think right now it's about 19 degrees and there's like 4 feet of snow on the ground. Oh, my God. Listen, I want to get Deb in to our conversation here, and you know, some of our listeners may even be wondering why you're on the podcast today and how we actually became connected. And I want to quickly mention that I don't remember where it was, it might have been on Twitter, about an upcoming showing here in Connecticut of the Trail Film Fest, and I was excited to read about that, and I want you to talk about that for a second and let Deb jump in as well with some questions and thoughts that she has. But I went ahead and tweeted out and shared via our social media circles about the Trail Film Fest, got a couple of tickets for myself, and tried to spread the word. I was just really excited. As Deb will say, I'm sure, you know, we rarely see a lot of these festivals come to the Northeast. Usually it is more out west. So that's how I became aware of the Trail Film Fest, and that's why you're on the podcast today. So let me turn this over to Deb. I know she's got some questions for you, and we definitely want you as well to talk about the Trail Film Fest and how you became involved in that or how that's connected to Range Shadow Running as well.
Sure, yeah, definitely we can talk about that.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the questions I have is, was the Trail Running Film Fest created and you picked it up as the promoter, or is it something that you created as a subset of Range Shadow Running?
Yeah, no, it's definitely something we've created it kind of just happened again by accident. You know, with our very first race, Orcas Island, we used to, you know, a lot of the people doing the race, we'd hang out the night before. Orcas Island has this really amazing state park where the race starts and finishes, and it has this group camp, like a summer camp type place with all these cabins and bunk beds. So there's 150 bunk beds and a big group lodge and, you know, with a commercial kitchen and all this stuff. And so people come and spend the night before the race and spend all weekend there. And so the night before the race, we used to just pop in trail running DVD movies like David Horton's The Runner from when he ran the PCT and old Western States videos and Badwater, you know, just all the kind of everybody's brought whatever DVDs they had from home, and we just popped them into the TV that was there in the common lodge. And, you know, we'd spend a couple of hours chatting and watching these videos. And eventually the race grew too big. We had too many people hanging out. You couldn't hear the TV anymore. You couldn't see the screen. And we stopped doing it for a few years. And then one of our newer races, the Gorge Waterfalls 50K and 100K, which is coming up in a few weeks, our kind of host hotel for that weekend has its own 125-seat theater, which you can bring beers into, and is attached to a restaurant there. It's a really neat old theater or old hotel. And so it was just an obvious decision to start showing movies on the big screen there at that theater the night before the race. And it just immediately sold out within a couple of hours. And then people were like, well, bring it to, you know, to their hometowns, because they weren't able to see it. And so that spring we did a 12-city tour around the Northwest, which was, I guess, about a year ago now. And that went really well, and people all around the country were saying, hey, bring it to, you know, to Boston or to Fort Lauderdale or Austin, Texas or whatever. And so this past fall we organized a, 31-city tour around the United States over the span of about 2 months. And that, again, just went super well, but we couldn't, you know, 31 cities wasn't enough. So this current tour that we're going to start in a couple of weeks, we're going to go to 11 cities on the East Coast and seven cities on the West Coast that we missed on that last tour. So, something that we came up with ourselves. You know, I've had connections over the years with filmmakers, so I got in touch with them, and just being kind of a trail running junkie that I am, I'm just always on the internet watching whatever new videos are popping up, and so contacting, you know, filmmakers of those, and, you know, we just kind of compiled the best stuff that we could get our hands on into 2.5 hours of videos. And, you know, we have like a half an hour intermission usually, so it's like a 3-hour night, plus we encourage people to show up a little bit early to hang out and get a beer. And again, it's just a lot like our races, where we're trying to create an atmosphere where people come and hang out and drink good beer, and all revolves around trail running.
Right. It sounds like everything you do is about building community, whether it's your trail races or the film festival. And that's what people are craving, is more community building.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a big part of why I fell in love with trail running in the first place is the community that already existed there, and like how easy it is for somebody new to the sport to feel like they're part of a community. And I think with the sport growing, like I started running ultras back in 2001, and the sport's really grown a lot in the past 10 plus years. Like, I mean, back then we definitely couldn't have done a trail running film festival. There just weren't enough movies, there weren't enough people, but, you know, the sport has grown so much. And I think one of the neat things is it creates these opportunities for folks like us to find our niche in this community and do something to kind of give back. I mean, this podcast that you guys are doing is awesome. It's what a great resource for the community. And being a coach, you know, that again, that's a great way to build great relationships and help other people with your advice and your knowledge. And, you know, same thing with me with putting on races. It's like, it's just, I think we can all use our skills in different ways to make this community even better and be a part of it in kind of our own unique ways. And of course, if people have like families and they're busy and they don't have time, they can just come and run and enjoy it. And, you know, the trail running, you know, you're out there so much longer and you're usually going at a slower pace where you can have conversations and really get to know each other. And, you know, you travel to races together or you hang out at the finish line and really get to know each other. And so I think that's one of the really great things about the trail community and the ultra community is that it just really lends itself for people to really get to know each other. And I think that's just important in general for the entire world. You know, I think when people really know each other and understand each other, it's a lot harder to, you know, get upset with each other or hurt each other. Or, you know, I think people have a lot more respect for people that they know and understand. So
I guess you're actually promoting world peace then. This isn't all about Jonah.
Don't tell anybody. It's a secret. Saving the world.
Yo, man, yeah, you really said a mouthful there, James. It's so true. You know, I was excited to have you on the podcast for this very reason because, and Debbie could speak to this much more than I because she's been in the trail racing scene and running scene probably for as long as anyone I know. But I'm really excited about exposing more road runners and triathletes, which is really my background. I mean, I've done Hawaii 3 times, and, you know, I've probably run 30 road marathons or more. I don't know. I mean, but predominantly a road runner. I just am excited about exposing people to trail running who have been sort of brought up on the road or even are multi-sport athletes. And so that's one of the reasons why I was excited to do this podcast with you. And we'll try to get as many people for that show in Connecticut as we can. And I want to throw that out right now. Wednesday, March 4th in Hartford at the Spotlight Theater in Front Street Bistro is the Trail Film Fest. And, you know, I'll also say as well, trailfilmfest.com is where people can get information. Tell us again a little bit about how that evening is going to go down, James. How do these events, the film fest, sort of happen?
Yeah. So at Hartford, you know, each theater is usually a little bit different. But like you mentioned, they actually have a restaurant there. They have beer there at the theater. You know, we pretty much try every single show to have beer available at the show. And I think so far for 18 shows this year, there's going to be beer at every show. So we're really excited about that. And the doors open at 5 o'clock. So we encourage people. We know that's, you know, it's a work day, it's a Wednesday. But we encourage people to try to show up early and hang out, get a beer, get something to eat. You can bring the beer into the theater. I'm not sure the food might have to stay in the restaurant, but you can definitely bring the beer into the theater. So, and then the night kind of gets started. The show gets started at 6. I'll kind of introduce the night and speak a little bit about our sponsors and stuff like that. And, you know, after a couple of minutes, we'll basically hit play on the Blu-ray disc, and we'll have about an hour's worth of films, about a half dozen or so films in the first half. And then we'll do probably about a 20 or so minute intermission where folks can get up and go to the bathroom, get more stuff to drink or whatever, get some snacks. And then we'll do a prize giveaway during the intermission as well. And we'll start the second half of the film. So we've got about an hour and a half of films, again, about another half dozen short films, with the last one being The Long Haul, which is a film by really good, I mean, they're all great films, but the filmmaker for the last one, J.B., he might have made the very first trail running movie I ever saw, at least one of my favorite early trail running movies, that one that is about David Horton. And so this one that we're going to be watching, The Long Haul, features Hal Korner and Mike Wolf, two elite runners, going for the speed record on the John Muir Trail, which is part of the Pacific Crest Trail in California. It's a 200-mile trail through the High Sierra Mountains up at high altitude. And it's a pretty tough record that they're trying to break. So there's a lot of drama and excitement and, of course, beautiful scenery being there in the High Sierra. So, so that's the night. Usually people have to get home. You know, it's a work night, so not too many people usually hang out afterwards. But, it's a good evening full of trail running movies and usually beer and friends and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, making some new friends. For sure. Deb, I know you have to run. Is there anything else you want to jump in with?
Yeah, the other question I have is, are all the films shown in their full length, or are they snippets of the films?
There's a variety. We have some really short films that are shown in their full length, like ones that are only just 5 minutes or so. And then we have a couple of previews for upcoming movies. That we just don't have time to show the full movie. Like, we have a preview for a local film. There's a guy, Mike Mooney, local filmmaker, an hour-and-a-half-long documentary of a guy running his first 100-miler at the Vermont 100.
Right, that
one's called. Yeah, and that one's getting great reviews, really cool, super well-done preview. We just don't have time to include it, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, that preview. We have another preview, two other previews. And then we have some longer films, like one that's like 10 minutes, one that's almost 20 minutes. And then The Long Haul is like 35, 40 minutes. And The Crossing, another full film, that's about 25 minutes. And then another one that's 10 minutes. So we've got a variety. There's so many great films out there that it would probably take 3 or 4 nights to be able to show everybody the full-length versions of everything that's available. So, I think it's a good mix of stuff.
Yeah. One other question I have is, like the Mount Film Festival tonight, it's put on, it's sponsored by an organization in the area. This one is a sports store, I believe. And the profits go to a charity. And tonight's show is for the Connecticut Audubon Society. Do you do that as well? Do you give to charities from your trail running fest?
Yeah, we would love to do that at all of our shows. We have done it at a couple shows in the past, and we're going to do it at least at one or two shows on this tour. The Hartford show won't be one of those. Basically, we're just not at the point yet where there's that much proceeds to donate. The film fest basically broke even that we did last year. We're hoping to do a little bit better this year. But the Banff Film Festival has been around for quite a long time. And, we're hoping to get it, on average at our show, 150 to 200 people. The Banff usually gets like 800, 500, 600, 700, 800 a night for multiple nights. So if we were getting that many people coming out, we would definitely be able to donate money every show. So that's our goal. I mean, Banff Film Festival is one of the inspirations for sure for what we're doing with this touring film festival. And, they always have great, amazing films. It's always so much fun to go see. So if one day we can totally copy everything they're doing and be able to have that many people coming out and be able to donate money, that would be wonderful.
Awesome. All right, good stuff. Deb, you have anything else? Do you have to run?
No, I have to run. Pick up the kids.
Yeah.
Well, it was great talking with you, Debbie. We'll get to see you at the Hartford show.
Yeah, that'd be good. And, we could always do a destination race out to your area. The way you set things up out there, it's definitely more of a whole weekend festivity. It sounds like something that's more appealing than a lot of the other races where you just show up, you do what you do, and you get out of there. We're always looking. I travel quite a bit for races, and I have in the past. I've actually done White River 50.
Okay.
I was out crewing at Western States last year. It's just that now with two young kids, they still do it, and they crew, and they actually help out, but it's it does take a little bit more effort, and you can't do it as often.
Definitely keep
you in mind, because it sounds like you got a great program out there, and we'll promote your trail running fest and get more people excited about trail running, because it's good for me, too, because I put on a race in May. It's 31 years old now.
Oh, cool. And, awesome.
We have a big festival afterwards, festivities afterwards, too. We have veggie chili after the race. Everyone sits around and hangs out, and it's always a good family time.
For all of our listeners, throw it out.
May 17th this year
In
Stafford Springs. You can go on to Ultra Sign Up and find Soapstone Mountain Trail Races.
Great. 31 years? You say that? How long has been going on?
31 consecutive years. Yeah.
Wow.
My club is 41 years old. So we've been doing trail running here for a long time. it just doesn't get as much publicity as everything out west. we mentioned about our trail running camp.
Right. I want to make sure you're not late to pick up Dahlia, though, so once you get going.
Right.
And I'll throw in some info about our upcoming camp for sure. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Deb and I are hosting the Cedar Lake Trail Running Camp and Retreat from Friday, May 29th to Sunday, May 31st. Here in Chester at Camp Hazen, right in our own Cockapontet State Park. James, we got about 100 miles of trails of all really mixed terrain, a lot of technical single track, and some fire road as well here right in this area, one of our favorite places to run. So for information on that camp, our listeners could go to pursuitathleticperformance.com/events and just click on the tab for the Cedar Lake Trail Running Camp. I also want to make sure, James, that I mention for all of our listeners, when you come out east, you're doing your East Coast tour includes Arlington, Massachusetts on May 2nd, Concord, New Hampshire March 3rd in Concord, New Hampshire, March 5th in Rochester, New York, Pittsburgh, PA, and Columbus, Cleveland, Baltimore. Man, you are all over the place, down into Georgia and then Tennessee. So we've got listeners, a lot of listeners down in the Southeast as well. I know some people that are going to be interested in coming to your Knoxville show on March 18th. So that's a really extensive tour. You've obviously really jumped in here head first, and we really appreciate it out here in the Northeast. I got to tell you that you're coming out here, that's for sure.
I'm in the car now.
Very funny. I just want to, I don't want to be the guy hosting the podcast that makes mom late to pick up the kids. That's all.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
James, before I let you go, and thanks again so much for joining us. This has been awesome. A guy with your experience as an ultra runner and as a race director as well, what are some tidbits of advice that you could share with some of our listeners, both from the perspective of somebody that's been a trail runner out there training and racing, but also from the perspective of the race director. Are there any things that come to mind that you might be able to share?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, earlier you mentioned a lot of your listeners are triathletes and road runners. And, you know, I think a lot, especially, you know, if you have marathoners, folks that are running the longer races, obviously, you know, some of the really long triathlons, I think those folks are used to, you know, maybe being on their feet a lot longer. And that really helps, I think, when transitioning to trail races, because one thing that might catch some road runners off guard is running trails usually takes a lot longer to cover the same distance as a road race, which, you know, maybe that's obvious when you say it, but, you know, a lot of trails out there, especially, you know, you guys have some really gnarly trails in New England where you just can't go anywhere near as fast because of the rocks, the roots, or the steep hills. So just, you know, trying to keep that in mind in your training and racing and not get disappointed, you know, if you're looking at your watch and saying, oh, my gosh, I just ran a 10-minute mile or a 12-minute mile or an 18-minute mile, you know, it's,
yeah.
Trails are just a whole other animal than roads, you know, so you don't get wrapped up in, you know, your mile splits or, you know, anything like that. I say go more by, you know, intensity, you know, heart rate, breathing, you know, kind of run by feel more so than time. And, you know, I think what comes with that with trail, you know, with running on trails, it, you know, it takes longer is managing your nutrition and your hydration. You know, in road races, you know, you can have an aid station every 2 miles or something, you know, and that's pretty frequent where you have a chance to resupply, whereas like in a trail race, it might be 5, 6, 7, 8 miles, and those miles take a lot more time. So you need to either carry food with you or have, you know, liquid nutrition in your water bottles or something. You know, you need to have a little bit more of a plan for how you're going to stay fueled and hydrated. Trying to think what else. I think a lot of road runners, I think a lot of triathletes will really enjoy the switch. And I think anybody, you know, even if you're just a hiker, like for me, I ran cross country in high school, but didn't really have much of a formal running background. And then I thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail. And while I was doing that, I met David Horton, who had ran the entire Appalachian Trail. And before meeting him, I'd never heard of ultramarathons. I never knew that trail running even existed other than cross-country races. So I kind of came into the sport from a hiker's background. And to me, I always kind of see running the mountains as you only run the easy parts. You run the downhills and the flats, and you walk the steep uphills. So that's a good thing to keep in mind, too, is for someone who's used to running every step, in trail running, it's okay to walk. And actually practicing your walking helps.
Right, absolutely. And it's very, very often it's absolutely necessary, right?
Yeah. The longer the race, the more walking is required, and you know, the more actually a key element. I mean, in a 100-miler, it's got to be a pretty flat 100-miler, and even then, it would probably help to have walk breaks so you're not kind of using the same muscles over and over again and risking, you know, kind of repetitive injuries. So, but yeah, most of the mountain 100s, you're walking like half the time. So,
right.
I think, you know, maybe some people are also maybe intimidated from going from the roads on the trails, but, you know, it sounds like you guys have a great network, a great community there in the Hartford area. I'm sure folks get together for social runs, for group runs. You know, so if somebody's feeling intimidated, you know, it's a really welcoming community. And so if somebody out there is listening that has been running roads but has been kind of daydreaming of, oh, I wonder what the trails are like, you know, I say, you know, find some friends and go do it together. Or find some folks that have been doing it for a while and join them. Don't be intimidated. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's great advice. You know, and I think, you know, it's it's sort of apropos, we come back to that, you know, sort of feeling of community. You're right, James. I mean, the trail community, certainly the ultra running community is an amazing community of people, you know. And I can say firsthand, you know, having come from more of a road running background, you know, it's just been really awesome to feel a completely different vibe. And it's not a criticism of the road running circle, if you will, but it's just different, and it is very welcoming. And you're right, man, you can be a little bit intimidated if you're new to it. So listen, I will include links to the to your sites when I write up a little bit about our podcast and share this, which I hope to do here in the next 24 hours or so. I want to thank you so much for coming on, James, and sharing a little bit of your background and what you're doing out there with Rain Shadow. And thanks so much for bringing these trail films to all of us around the country, and especially here in the Northeast. I look forward to meeting you early in March up there in Hartford, and we'll do whatever we can to spread the word here. And I really wish you safe travels and the best of luck with all of your endeavors, man.
Well, yeah, thanks so much for having us on, Coach. Definitely, it's been great to chat with you, and we're looking forward to coming to New England. Guess we're just hoping that the snow makes it easy to get around. I see all the pictures of the piles of snow. It's kind of crazy.
It is crazy, man. You know, you're not going to be able to find any trails when you get here at the rate we're going. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this, at least in Connecticut. I mean, New Hampshire and Vermont and Maine, it's more typical. But in any case, whether or not you can see the ground or not, we'll welcome you here with open arms. And again, safe travels. Thank you, everybody, for checking in with the podcast today and listening, and we wish everybody safe travels and a warm and safe winter, and James, we'll see you in March.
Okay, yeah, maybe we'll bring some warm Hawaii weather with us.
That would be nice, man. That would be very nice. Much appreciated. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star rating and review here on iTunes. Be sure to head over to PursuitAthleticPerformance.com to subscribe for free tips and strategies to help you get strong, get fast, and unleash the amazing athlete in you.